recognize very special people, Christian brothers and sisters. And this morning we're going to recognize Eric and Jan for one main reason. One, because they are becoming former members of our church, which we truly love that. But also, whenever I get up here, I always hesitate what I should say and what I should not. So kind of my determination on what I should say, if it comes out of love, respect, and admiration, I'm going to say it. If it comes out of anything other than, I'll just leave it aside. So the things I'm going to say are coming out of love, respect, and admiration. For one, if both of you would have been here when we started our pastor search committee, you would have been on it. I would have at least asked you to be on it. And one of the main reasons is you know, when they kind of came into our church kind of right after Pastor Gordon had left. And but I quickly found out that they live by Scripture. They live by Scripture. Scripture is their authority in their life. And when we were kind of funneling down to Pastor Paul, Jan specifically said, I want to read everything he submitted. I want to see his sermons, and I want to see if he lives by the Word of God. And so I sent her everything, and I was like, oh my gosh, please, Jan, please like Pastor Paul. And she did. Yeah, so you might thank her for being here. Who knows? No, I'm just kidding. Yes. But she gave you the thumbs of approval, so that's good. Yes, but anyway, they're a blessing to this church, and we are so glad to have you. By the bylaws, you know, we don't ask the congregation to vote on members. Basically, what we do is they ask to become members, and then we meet with them as elders. I've met with both of them numerous times over lunch, and then we also had an elder meeting with them where they gave us their testimony and why they're Christians and why they want to be part of this church. The EFCA, the tenets of the EFCA, and they agreed with all that stuff. And the bottom line is they are good Christians, and we are blessed to have them a part of this church. So today we're going to ask both of you to come forward, and I'm going to ask my elders to come forward too, and we're gonna bring you into this church, but through prayer. So if you'd come up, I would sure appreciate it. Come over here. Well, you want to start us off, and then we'll just go down the line, Barry, and you can close us out. How's that? Yes.
Father, we rejoice in your faithfulness and your goodness to bring Eric and Jan to this church, to our local body. Father, we know what a privilege and a blessing it is to gather together as your children, to worship with each other, and to hold each other accountable to following you with our whole lives. Father, I pray that as a church, we would commit and be willing to stand alongside Eric and Jan, to be a blessing to them, to stand with them in sorrow or in joy, to strengthen them and encourage them in their week, to exhort them and to teach them more about you, more about how to follow you. And Father, I pray that Eric and Jan would also be a blessing to this church, that we would, as we welcome them, we would be encouraged and be challenged and be taught by them. Father, together may we, with one mind and one heart, glorify you.
Father, we thank you so much for our brother and sister in Christ. The path that you've given us here in life is short. The time you've given us on short. And it is much more blessing when we come across individuals who have given their life to you. Lord, we praise you for that. And I ask, Lord, our time going forward be a blessing with both of them. May we come together as brothers and sisters in Christ to reach out to the community, bring non-believers to you, in whatever means you've given us, Lord. Lord, we are so thankful for them, and we ask you to bless them and bless this church in that relationship. In Jesus' name.
Lord, I thank you personally for Eric and Jan. I kind of have known them. It's been a pleasure to know them. Lord, I also know from having spoken with them, they have been in your body, the body of Christ, for many, many years. We appreciate the maturity that will come from that. We also appreciate the fact that they have decided to join the local body of Christ. And there's spots in that body that we need. We need them to be there. And we appreciate the fact that you have brought them our way. And we ask that we might uphold our end, that we might be available to them and they will be available to us. Lord, we love you. We know that you are increasing your body by bringing us together. We ask that we might work together in unison, in harmony. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. And they don't have to, but you're welcome to say anything if you'd like. Pass? Okay. I'll get him on the...
I know Jan's going
to
say
something. I have to say something. I just was praying about what to say. And I know this church has a great new pastor that has come before. And we feel so honored to be brought here at this crossroads. And to find here the mature leadership, the heart, love, in the congregation to our and we feel just privileged to be joining in the chapter that comes. And I saw this, I trust the next chapter because I am the author and so do you. And one other little thing, I'm so big on visual aid. I can't help myself.
Yeah, I'll hold this for now.
But
yeah.
Is yet to come.
Amen. Yep. Amen.
I'm just grateful to be a part of
it. Okay. Well, thank you. Thank you very much. And I'm going to clap. And for those curious, oh, yes, Barb. Okay, we are having a potluck today. Even if you did not bring food, please come down and bring your appetite. And obviously, Barry did the announcements too, but welcome. If you don't know the Caros family, there they are. You'll get to know them a lot in the next couple years, hopefully decades, who knows. We'll see. We'll play that day by day. But either way, we are so glad you're here. I'm glad you made a safe trip. And just for you guys, next week we will have kind of the whatever you want to call it, to the induction into the church for Pastor Paul. And we'll also ask the family to come forward, so just prepare yourself for next week, okay? We'll ask you to come forward. It'll be you guys next week. But we didn't want to overburden you. I just hope the moving is going well. So, okay, no further announcements. Let's go to life in the body and specific prayer requests. For those who don't know, yes, Barry and Tina will be traveling to Oregon, California, the next couple weeks. So we'll be praying for them on their trip to see their children, I would assume. That's the case of it. And grandkids, yes. Kids, oh, parents. Gotcha, sorry. So please, what other prayer requests do we have? Barb, yes. We are asked for the Lord's blessing on your nieces and their new jobs. I saw their hand. Yeah, I'm Harlan.
Yeah.
And we'll be looking forward to the book. Yeah. Yes, Caitlin. I'm sorry, can you say it again? Oh. We will pray for a safe delivery for Marina and Caleb's daughter. It is a daughter, right? Yes, okay. Kathy. You can certainly, a lot of times, see God's work in the darkest and hatefulest of places. Amen. I thought I saw another hand, but if not, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this beautiful, glorious Sabbath morning that you've brought your brothers and sisters in Christ to worship, to glorify your name, to praise and sing songs to you. And to hear the message from the scripture. Lord, may we leave today closer to your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, I pray for Tina and Barry as they travel to see parents, to see family, to see children. We ask you to watch over them, keep them safe, keep those around them safe. And we ask you and we look forward to their return, Lord. Lord, we pray for Barb's nieces who have just recently have given jobs. We ask you to bless them during this time. Lord, keep them comforted, but keep them focused on their job. Keep them focused on you. And let this situation bring them closer to you, if not. Lord, we continue to pray for revival in our world, in our country, in our state, and specifically in our town. We pray for revival here, Lord, and let us, Urea Christian Fellowship, be part of that revival. Lord, let us take that charge seriously, but do it for the glory of you. Lord, we praise you for Pastor Arthur in Canada, who's been released from prison. We thank you for his story and his testimony to you. He has probably brought your word to numerous prisoners in that prison, and we thank you for that, Lord. We also thank you for his release. We ask you for his ministry to continue on. Lord, we pray for Marina and Caleb and their unborn baby at this time. Lord, we specifically ask for a safe delivery. Keep the mother safe. Keep the daughter safe during this time. Lord, we ask you to bless them and lift them up. Lord, we pray for the young life, specifically in this case in Ukraine. We are so thankful for you act in the midst of tragedy. Lord, I know you are everywhere, interjected in all people's lives. Even in war-torn areas such as Ukraine, you are acting, you are bringing people to you. Lord, may people see that. May they grow from it. And may they continue on spreading the gospel to places and people that would never have received it otherwise. We know you work in mysterious ways, and Lord, we never want to question your will, and we want to walk in your will to the best of our abilities. Lord, we pray for our missionaries, we pray for our law enforcement, we pray for our medical service personnel within this town, keep them safe during their routines and their jobs. Lord, above all, we love you and we praise you, and we want to glorify your name. And I would ask you to join me in the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, today, I know the things now there, but it's really the title of this sermon is A Glimpse of Heaven, Part 2. The Part 1 was in the year 2019. So if any of you remember it, I would be interested to hear what part of it you remember. Not that I'm doing the same sermon, but there are parts of it that are kind of the same for various reasons. Because I think a lot of times you need to hear the same thing multiple times in order for it to sink in. I know that's certainly truth for me. I need to hear things multiple times before it sinks in. So I wanted to preach this specific sermon called Glimpse of Heaven. And again, it's been pulled out of the computer, dusted off, worked around a little bit, but there are some parts of it the same. So I imagine, you know, with Tina's theological brain, she'll probably remember a couple things, but no. Sometimes I'm lucky if I remember something like a couple weeks ago. So just wanted to let you know. So if you wouldn't mind, if you could just at least stand for the scripture reading. The scripture reading is 1 Corinthians 2, 1 through 9. And when I came to you, brothers, I did not come proclaiming to you the testimony of God with lofty speech or wisdom. For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my message were not plausible words of wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, so that your faith might not rest on the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Yet among the mature we do impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, nor ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love him. That is the word of the Lord. And please be seated. Yeah. So in verses 1 through 8, Paul is comparing human wisdom with God's wisdom. Human wisdom is based on what is observed by human senses, decided upon using our own logic and reason. This is not to say anything negative about human logic, reason, and knowledge. These are good things, even biblically speaking. However, where human wisdom, logic, and reason fail is that it does not include or access God's wisdom. God's wisdom is revealed to us by God, through Scripture, and by the Spirit of God. The next thing I'm going to say may sound proud and conceited, but it's basically, from my understanding, the same thing Paul is saying in verse 9. As Christians, there are worldly matters, heavenly matters, and eternal truths that have been revealed to you by your trust in Jesus Christ and with your walk through faith. No matter the intelligence level of a person, if they don't know Jesus Christ, they can never, nor will ever, know certain truths about God and his eternal kingdom. Truly, I assure you, the smartest, most intellectual human on earth is still infinitesimal ignorant in their knowledge of the universe compared to the Creator who made the universe. The older I get, the wiser I get, and the deeper my faith gets, the more I have to come to understand that above anything else in this world. I feel much of the understanding or realization of human itself, of heaven itself, is part of that secret and hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. If you are a Christian, Or maybe even if you are not, my guess is you've at least thought of what heaven is like or will be like. You've probably thought of what it will be like when you get to meet God in all his glory. One of my favorite songs that still tugs in my heart when I listen to it is that song by Mercy Me, I Can Only Imagine. I can only imagine what it'll be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. Surrounded by your glory, what will my heart feel? Will I dance for you, Jesus, or in awe of you be still? Will I stand in your presence, or to my knees will I fall? Will I sing hallelujah? Will I be able to speak at all? I'm not implying I agree or not with those theological lyrics, but I still love the song regardless. Here are a few of our fellow human non-believers' thoughts about heaven, or what it would be like even if it exists. You probably all heard of Isaac Asimov. I don't believe in the afterlife, so I don't have to spend my whole life fearing hell, or fearing heaven even more. For whatever the tortures of hell, I think the boredom of heaven would be even worse. Thomas Edison, likely one of the smartest minds ever. I have never seen the slightest scientific proof of the religious ideas of heaven or hell, a future life for individuals, or of a personal God. I include just those two because they are so ridiculous. They are on the verge of humorous to me. And I could go on and on about the individuals who have similar views. There are millions. And opinions about heaven. But honestly, it gets sad reading their opinions and quotes. I faithfully ask God to open the minds of who have chosen this world, chosen their own lives, chosen to ignore the truths of God and his kingdom. But anyway, just moments ago, I said you've likely thought of what heaven is like. I certainly have, and with Scripture, there are abundant ways to view what heaven is like. If this sermon had a thesis, it would state, we don't have to wait until our biological death or until the new earth forms. We can see heaven right here, right now, if we're open to it, and if we're looking for it. We can at least see glimpses of heaven. When I vision heaven, I start at Matthew 22:36. A Pharisee asked Jesus, which is the greatest commandment in the law? And Jesus replied, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. And the second is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. All the law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Use those greatest of commandments from Jesus and imagine a world where everyone loved God with all their heart, with all their mind, and with all their soul. Then imagine that same world where everyone loved their neighbors as themselves. That would be the overview of how I believe heaven is like based on Scripture. However, I'll expand on that using the Ten Commandments found in the book of Deuteronomy. We would worship God and God only. We wouldn't worship money, sex, drugs, fame, fortune, houses, cars, or ourselves. We would not take the Lord's name in vain. We would call on the name of God for all things, and we would do so in reverence to God. We would contentedly and happily work as God intended for us to work. We would work hard to care for our families, to help our neighbors, and if needed, anyone who needed our help. We would appreciate that work, for the fruits of our labor would resource those whom God had made us responsible for. But we would then rest, and we would rest in the Lord and for the Lord. And we would glorify him for his provisions. We would be mothers and fathers worthy of being honored. And if children, we would honor our parents. We would raise our children to worship God. And we would make it easy for them to see Christ's light in us and shining from us. Humanity would not murder. humanity would not hate. If there happened to be some sort of an offense, we would reconcile and forgive others, and they would forgive us. Pride, jealousy, and anger would not be a stumbling block to forgiveness, if it were needed at all. We would not commit adultery. We would not lust after others. Our affections for others would be pure and selfless. We would not steal, and others would not steal. You would have what you need, others would have what they need, and we would be content with what we had. And what we had would be recognized as gifts of God. We would say what we mean. No deceit would come out of our mouths. And what we say would be for God's glory and for the benefit of others. That is a very much more detailed vision of heaven in my mind. How could Isaac Asimov think that be torture? The guy lost it. Compare that to the Earth's current state of affairs. And I'll keep this part short, I promise you, it's sad as well. God and idols are a dime a dozen. Sometimes, the one true God is one of them. For most, God doesn't fit that category at all. God's name is not revered. It's often used more as an explicative. Mothers and fathers are regularly not honored and are often abandoned as they become burdens. Murder has become a choice. Adultery, thievery, and lying are only wrong when caught or when the consequences get negative or inconvenient. I could go on about the non-godly part of this world, but I think that serves little purpose. Turning on the daily news provides us plenty of that. Had not a Savior been born, sacrificed, and raised from the dead, this current state of affairs is what we would have. For whatever time we had on this earth, that's what we would have. However, that Savior, Jesus Christ, is what can bridge us from that sinful world into our glimpse of heaven. In this next story, witness the wisdom from God, not from man. Matthew 16, 13 through 19. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you lose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Jesus Christ just gave an astounding statement there. The keys to the kingdom of God, the authority of that kingdom, the right to act in its name, are given in this age by the King to the church. This authority is not to our government, not to any elected official, to any pope or any ruler, but to the church. And most magnificent of all, to sinners, just like us, who have given our lives to Jesus Christ. To those struggling day in and day out with our small and our large problems, the church is God's embassy here on earth. We are meant to show the life of the kingdom of God to those people around us. Kevin DeYoung states it this way: "The life of the kingdom of God, a life of poverty of spirit, meekness, mercy, purity, and peace, will be manifested to the world in the church. It is not that the church is perfect or that it showcases the life of the kingdom without flaw, but believe it or not, the church is the primary arena God has chosen to make his redemptive reign over his people visible. It is, as some have said, the initial manifestation of the kingdom of God in this age. And as the world sees and responds to that kingdom life, the church will not only manifest the kingdom, but also bears witness to it." I'm going to read just part of that one more time because it is truly, truly important. It's not that the church is perfect or that it showcases the life of the kingdom without flaw. None of us are ever going to admit we're flawless. But believe it or not, the church is the primary arena God has chosen to make his redemptive reign over his people visible. It is, as some have said, the initial manifestation of the kingdom of God in this age. And as the world sees and responds to that kingdom life, the church will not only manifest the kingdom, but also bear witness to it. The last two verses in Ephesians 1 state similar authority. And he put all things under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Until Christ returns, Christians fulfill that role and be that example of Christ on earth, to be that glimpse of heaven for the rest of humanity. That's sadly not often the case, I know, that Christians provide that glimpse into heaven. If you're a lawyer in the room, I apologize, I'm only using this as a phrase. Don't take offense. But have you ever heard the quote, 99% of lawyers give the other 1% a bad reputation? I know that's a very large exaggeration, but it's kind of similar sometimes in Christianity, where people judge based on one or two people's actions. I'm sure you've heard it at least once, but if not, likely 1,000 times about the current state of Christianity. However, as Christians, we cannot, never, ever let that stop us, hinder us, or allow us to deviate from what we have committed to do. When you accepted Christ, you committed to do that. I personally know many who have stopped attending worship services and even had their faith largely tested because of other Christians. But that mentality is like refusing to go to the hospital because there are other sick people there. Christians know we need a Savior. We cannot heal ourselves. We are not the self-righteous. We candidly admit we must have help. Help from a Savior and help from the Spirit of God. When we fail, though, we repent. We get back up and we keep going. If we fall again, we get back up, we repent, and we continue to go. My father passed away in 2011. It was right before I retired from the military and moved to Uray. I gave the eulogy at his funeral. I would not describe my father as a model Christian in much of his behavior or his words, but he was a Christian to the best of my understanding. I provided this story at his funeral because his actions certainly impressed upon me and hopefully had some impact on others. When I was a young teenager, you guys might relate to this. When I was a young teenager, my family and I traveled to Mississippi from Colorado via a car without air conditioning in mid-August. It was terrible. On day 3 of our trip, when we were really getting sick of each other, sick of being hot and sweaty, certainly tired of driving. The good thing back in those days, you didn't have seatbelt rules, so we could lay up in the window and down on the floor and everything. Yes. It did make that nice anyway. But we were tired of driving, and we just wanted to be at our destination. My father saw a lady, and I presume her child, pulled over on the side of the road with a flat tire. Well, he pulled over. And this flat tire turned out to be much more than just a flat tire. The tire needed repaired, and the lady did not have a workable spare. To make a long story short, my father spent the majority of the day getting that lady's tire repaired while we sat along the highway in the hot, humid Mississippi climate. At the time, I was not pleased with my father because it inconvenienced me. But I will always remember his unwavering commitment to that stranger stranded along that Mississippi highway. I have no idea of that lady's eternal destination, or my father's actions, or if my father's actions influenced her life at all. I would like to believe my father's actions showed her a glimpse of heaven, similar to the story of the Good Samaritan. How many of her fellow Mississippi neighbors bypassed her in need when the Good Samaritan from Colorado came upon the situation and took care of her? However, and regardless of that lady's gratitude, or if it showed her a glimpse of heaven from a Christian passing by, I believe my father did the right thing for God's glory. If you've heard of the Princeton Seminary experiment, it's an interesting case. It's an interesting case study. And I'm going to only summarize it. Seminary students, those specifically preparing to be pastors, were given a task to give a sermon on the Good Samaritan. They were provided a classroom to write that sermon. Then they were to go to a studio to give the sermon. After a length of time, they were given one of three instructions while they were writing their sermon. The first instruction was this. Well, they were given one of three. The first was, you're late. They were expecting you a few minutes ago. You'd better hurry. It shouldn't take just a minute. This was called the high hurry condition. The second, the studio assistant is ready for you, so please go right over. This was the intermediate hurry condition. And the third, it'll be a few minutes before they're ready for you, but you might as well head on over. If you have to wait over there, it shouldn't be long. This was the low hurry condition. As each student walked by himself for the preparation classroom to the studio, he encountered a victim in a deserted alleyway, just like the wounded traveler in the parable of the Good Samaritan. The victim, who was one of the experimenters, appeared destitute, was slouched and coughing, and clearly in need of assistance. The seminarians were thus offered a chance to apply what they were about to preach. 10% of the students in the high hurry situation stopped to help the victim. 45% of the students in the intermediate hurry stopped to help the victim. And 63% of the students in the low hurry situations helped the victim. I know much analysis could come from that study, and possibly I'm being too critical, but those results are rather discouraging, but not really shocking, are they? Local Christians, God's people, need to show the local community what a glimpse of heaven is like. And in God's time, that glimpse of heaven may bring others to salvation through Christ. Although I know very little of the small, random glimpses of heaven each one of you do on a daily basis, I have witnessed many things this church and the members of it do on a regular basis. I have witnessed countless prayer requests for family, for friends, for enemies, for those in need and those in pain, for our government, for our service members, for law enforcement, and for Christians in other countries being persecuted, for travelers, for loved ones, for newborn babies, and for those who are passing away, and for revival. Prayer is the heart of God's kingdom. Men and women who do not know God do not pray to God. Prayer is ultimately, though, not about changing the circumstance, although many times it does and it will. Prayer is about trusting God and changing ourselves into more obedient followers of God, putting our faith in Him. I have witnessed God's people serving local teenagers, providing their time, energy, witness, and love. This church finances this effort year after year, and in the possibility and hope that one or more of those teenagers may see the light of Christ and be saved. COVID has stopped that to some degree, but hopefully it'll pick up soon. I have witnessed the care of widows and widowers, orphans, and the elderly. I have witnessed God's people taking homeless families in, providing for their needs and loving upon them. I have witnessed God's people feeding the hungry. I have witnessed God's people providing countless hours of their time to sermons, to worship, song preparation, and Bible studies. I have witnessed God's people's embrace the youth of this community through Young Life, Wildlife, and other venues in an attempt to witness about God. I have witnessed God's people providing countless hours to their local church for events and programs We have done this through the Festival of Lights. We have done this through caroling in Ridgeway and in the Yule Parade right here in Ouray. I have witnessed God's people providing their financial offerings so God's work can be resourced internally within this church, locally, and in foreign lands. We support finances to three missionaries overseas so they can spread God's word where God has called them. I have witnessed God's people laboring for their neighbors because their neighbor was in need. I have witnessed the men and women of this church, believers coming in together every week to hear God's word, to sharpen their main tool of evangelism, God's word, and to fellowship among other believers. I have witnessed a community of believers come together to support and bring a pastor and his family from South Carolina to Ouray, so we can further spread the good news of Jesus Christ to this community. And I have witnessed a family willing to uproot, where they have spent the majority of their lives to travel here to Ouray, on faith that Jesus and a local church has called them to serve. The kingdom of God resides where the Holy Spirit is present. If you've given your life to God, then the kingdom of God resides within you. And to some degree, your life reflects that glimpse of heaven. That is an overwhelming obligation. However, it's not about doing good deeds or being a good person. It's about being Christ's ambassador, which will enable us to do good things and be a good person for Christ's sake. God knows while alive on this world, we can't reflect the perfect glimpse of heaven. But as a Christian and as a Christian community, we should, with a glad heart, attempt to reflect that glimpse of heaven to the community and individuals we encounter on a daily basis. I am honored and humbled to be part of this community of believers, yet I know we are far from perfect. But I encourage each of you individually, and more so to us as a community and a local church, to use the remainder of our time on this earth, and now with a new pastor and family, to radiate God's light, so others may see a glimpse of heaven within us. Amen. Father, thank you for this beautiful day. Thank you for your word. We love you. We praise you. And we want to walk in this world and do the will of God. Please give us that knowledge. Give us that understanding. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.
I will trust in you alone.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us and forgive us all our sins through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Strengthen us in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, bring us into everlasting life. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord.
It is right.
It is good and right that at all times and in all places we should give thanks to you, Almighty God. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we pray your glorious name, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and honor, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is Jesus. All glory is yours, Almighty Father. For you, in your tender mercy, have given your only Son, Jesus Christ, to suffer death on the cross for our redemption. He made there, by his one offering, the whole perfect and sufficient sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. And in his gospel, commanded us to continue a perpetual memory of his precious death and sacrifice. But in the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, saying to his Lord, do this as often as you can. Therefore, we offer you these gifts as a memorial of your Son commanded us to make. Having in remembrance his blessed passion and precious death, his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, we ask you, merciful Father, to hear us, and according to your goodness, bless and sanctify us with your word and spirit, so that we, receiving these gifts according to your Son's command, in remembrance of his death and passion, may be partakers of his most blessed body and blood. Christ our Passover, the sacrifice of us. Here at Mary Christian Fellowship, we practice unbroken communion. That is to say that everyone who believes in the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we are in need of a Savior, and that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the sacrifice for our sins, is welcome to come and partake. Once you have received the elements, we ask that you return to your seat and keep those elements with you, and then to signify our union together in Christ, we will all partake of the elements together. Thank you. blood of Christ shed for our sins is covered for us. Let us pray together. Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us these holy Eucharist with the spiritual food of the most precious body of God, your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. Grant us now, Jesus, to love and serve you with gladness. Peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you, now and always.
Let's say the final benediction.